this session in English. I'm of Romanian origin, so I'm trying to learn Danish, but it's a bit difficult for me. I would like to introduce myself. My name is Paola. I'm working at FindWise. I'm working with enterprise search and actually specializing in searching SharePoint 2010, 2013, whatever is coming up next. So I'm going to talk about enterprise search in the new SharePoint in this presentation. I have around 30 slides about that and three demos. So I hope we can get through all the content and you don't fall asleep in those comfy chairs. So let's look at the agenda. The presentation is divided into three parts. We will first talk about finding information. We'll look about at this current search experience, the out-of-the-box features, functionalities that have been improved or added in the new search in SharePoint. And then we will discuss about the new search architecture. That will make the transition to the second part of the presentation, which is all about extending the search experience. We will look at how queries are executed in the new search, and also what kind of extensibility options we have for the content processing. And the last part of the presentation will be about governing and search analytics, more specifically, because you have all this great, powerful, out-of-the-box search experience. You have customized it or extended it. So what you do next, you need to govern your search solution. So that's an overview of what you will hear in the next hour. I would now like to invite my colleague Ludwig, the CIO of FindWise, to say a few words about FindWise and search.
Thank you, Paola. So I will do the more boring part for you here, and that's presenting FindWise to you. We are a Microsoft partner, and that's why we're here, to share our experience and knowledge with you. FindWise started in Gothenburg, Sweden, in 2005. It started with our first customer, SKF, which is a global manufacturing company of ball bearings. They had a fast ESP product, but they didn't know how to utilize it. Since then, we have grown to become over 90 employees. We have six offices in five different countries. The headquarters in Gothenburg, Stockholm. We have offices in Oslo, Warsaw, Poland, Sydney, Australia, and of course, here in Copenhagen. When we started working with SKF, it was mostly about tweaking and configuring the search engine that they had. Since then, we have grown and learned a lot more, and today we try to deliver something we call findability solutions, and that is to create business values from your search experience. From our one customer, we have gone to have completed over hundreds of search implementation and findability solutions. As you can see here on the screen, there are many large companies. We have worked with all Microsoft platforms, from Fast ESP, SharePoint, and to Fast for SharePoint, and now 2013. If you look at the Fast ESP customers that we have worked with, an example of this is SKF, as I mentioned in the beginning. They're still a customer to us. But we also have IKEA. We have Aller, which is just around the corner from here. We have SharePoint search projects that we've done, Stena, Volvo Cars, Telia. And we also worked with Fast for SharePoint, where we have LKAB, Dong Energy, But for me, at least, the most important customer is actually ourselves. Our own intranet is built on SharePoint, and we actually use FAST for SharePoint on our own intranet to deliver findability. What we have learned over the years that we worked with search is that when we started in 2005, we actually saw search more or less as the search box. That was the important part. We just tweaked the search engine to deliver something when you searched in the search box. But what we have seen since we start is that you need to look at the whole picture, the holistic perspective of search. So when you want to deliver a search implementation and a findability solution, you need to look at all the different levels. So you need to look at the business requirements, users' needs, what roles do they have in the organization. You have different search technologies that you can use in different ways depending on your requirements. But one of the most important parts is the information. Because search isn't just a shiny engine that could fix all your problems. You need to have good quality on your information. You need to have structures, metadata, taxonomies, and all those things. That's when you can deliver high-quality findability solutions from your search platform. When you have this in place, you of course need an organization. You have to have a clear ownership and governance of the solution, so it's not just something you install and then leave, because that will die like all the other systems that you have just implemented and left. When you have all these things, that's when you start getting what we would like to call findability. And this the same, you want of course to have the findability in your SharePoint solution. And if you see the previous chart, or what they call it, that they had before, where you have all the chart pieces where you have search as one. It's important not to see search as just one part, the search box. You need to see that search will go through all of your different parts, content, communities, so that you can make use of findability throughout all the systems, from creating and finding and discovering. Me personally, I've worked with findability solutions with Microsoft since the start of FindWise. I'm gone more to work with a consultancy to go to work with our own internal IT and create business value inside of FindWise. So I'm mostly here for presenting FindWise as the company. But I'm also here to represent the past of Microsoft and what we have done with Microsoft. But I know you guys, you want to see more of the technical stuff, so I want to present the future of FindWise, and that's Paula. So Paula will now show you all the fancy technical stuff.
Thank you. Ludwig.
Thank you.
Before we go next to the first part of the presentation, I would like to ask you a few questions. How many of you currently use the search in SharePoint 2010 and not use FAST? Okay. How many of you use FAST for searching? Okay, not so many. How about the search in previous versions of SharePoint? Yeah? 2007? And to adapt a bit my presentation, I would like to know how many you are developers. Yeah? Okay, a few of them. And IT pros? Okay. So I prepared this presentation to be a bit technical, so I might skip over a few sections based on the fact that there are more IT pros here, but let's go through. So the first part is about the new search experience in SharePoint 2013. And in this version, Microsoft has understood that it's not just a search technology. It's about getting the right information to the user and finding and providing answers to his questions. And this means that they needed to go further than just the technical part. They needed to provide a new search experience. So I have four slides that will show you the improvements or new features in search in SharePoint 2013, but you might have already seen some of them in previous presentation from yesterday or Jan's presentation from today. So this is how the new search interface looks. This is the search center. And now you only have one search solution. Previously, you had to choose between FAST or search for SharePoint 2010. Now you have a unified search solution. And we'll talk a bit more about this when we discuss the search architecture. Let's start with the search box. And there you have query suggestions as the user types. He's provided with suggestions that can guide him in his search. This is not something new, but now it's more focused on the user. You not only see what previous users have searched for, but also your searches rank higher in the suggestions. And also new is the possibility of navigating to your previous search results or previous documents. If we look at this example, a new thing are the result blocks, which represent a small subset of the results that pertain to, they have a specific a common feature. For example, the user query can contain the keyword presentation, and then search results that are PowerPoint presentations are boosted on top of the search results that you normally get. The refinement panel, not something new, but now, although you can't see it right away, you are provided with deep refiners, meaning you get accurate counts of the entities found in your return set of documents. And I have a demo that shows you how to add counts to these refiners so that you improve the explorability of the, of your result set. Besides deep refiners, you also get visual refiners. For example, for date, or you can customize that. You can make visual refiners, for example, for regions. That's cool. You also get deep links, meaning that the headings in a document or title slides are indexed, are stored, and then you are provided with links in the results, so the user gets a feeling of the structure of the document and can quickly access specific sections of the document. This is provided for Word documents and PowerPoint presentations. The new hover panel, which allows users to take a look inside the document, interact with the document, and look at the structure. And it's not only for normal search results that you get a hover panel, it's also for people search. So the hover panel changes based on the actual result. It's contextual. It's not only based on the result type, but it also provides contextual actions. For example, for people results, you can view the profile, you can follow that person, but for a video, you can play or share. You now get name suggestions. Previously, you only had query suggestions, and you had phonetic search. Now, you type in a name, and you get suggestions. It can be an exact match, as you see in the first example, or it can be fuzzy matches, as you see in the second example, where the user searches for Newman, with an U, and then gets a suggestion for Newman. Now, finding the information is one thing, but getting the answers to the user questions and understanding the intent of the user query is another thing. And what happened in SharePoint 2013 is that now you can use query rules to make user intent actionable. For example, if the user types video along it with its query, videos are boosted on top. If he types expert in the query, he gets people results on top. And you've seen in the previous presentation that you can have conversations now. And what this means for search is that you not only search documents, but you now search conversations, and you get to the answer faster because your colleagues might have answered your questions already. So that was an overview of the new search experience. We've seen some new features, some improved features, and some are going to be discussed further in this presentation. Let's see now what powers this great user experience. And let's take a look at the search architecture. As I previously mentioned, there's one unified search solution now. And Microsoft says that it took the best from the previous solutions, Search in SharePoint 2010 and FastSearch for SharePoint, to create a unified solution. So what is this based on? It took the connector and the crawler framework from SharePoint 2010 and used the advanced content processing and query framework, query processing framework from FAST for SharePoint, all built on the core search from SharePoint 2010. And this provides a very powerful search solution. Now, if we look at the search architecture and we start from left to right, we first discuss about content sources. And that can be HTTP files, file shares, your public exchange folders, your user profiles. And the way that we connect to these content sources is through .NET assembly connectors, which was previously available in the business connectivity services. If we move to the right, we find the content processing component. And this is where you have one entry point for extensibility of the content processing pipeline. You know that in FAST for SharePoint, one of the advantages was the advanced content processing extensibility. And we will talk further in the second part of the presentation to see how we can extend this content processing. A new component in SharePoint 2013 search architecture is the new analytics processing component. This component runs various jobs, including analyzing user interaction with search and the SharePoint sites, and providing recommendations and continuously improving relevance. The index component is just a box that actually does is where the indexing happens. That creates the index we can query against. And that's on the right side of the search architecture. The query processing component provides a RESTful API through which we can access the query engine, we can search against the index, but we can provide customized search experiences. What this means, actually, the point here is that you can develop custom apps for SharePoint, for mobile devices or tablets, and more. And we will look also about the Search RESTful API in a bit. So this is the first part. Let's now go to extending the search experience. And we will be looking at how to extend the query processing and how we access the RESTful API and how to extend the content processing pipeline. There are two aspects I would like to talk about when we discuss query management, and those are the query rules, a new feature introduced in SharePoint 2013, and the query languages that are now available. Query rules. Say, for example, that a user searches for sick leave. He tries to find what are the rules, how can he get some time off. You might need to add or want to add a promoted result, a site that contains the corporate rules on how to take the time off. And you can do that using the query rules. You can add a promoted result, a specific site that will be boosted on top of all other results. This was previously known as best bets, those that have been working before with it. And we've seen another example of using query rules, and that was for the presentations, for PowerPoint presentations, if the query contains the keyword presentation. You can also boost certain sites based on the query. For example, you have the query download toolbox, and you want to point users to a download site where they can download it directly. So all pages from that site are boosted over the rest of the results. You can define query rules by specifying a condition, when should the rule fire, and also an action, what will happen, and that is about the promoted results, result blocks, and ranking results. A second aspect of query management are the query languages. And previously, some of you know that those that used fast query language, that was really powerful. And what happened now is that those powerful features are now included in the keyword query language. So the keyword query language has been extended and now is the preferred way, preferred method to use. The fast query language is still available, and the SQL query syntax has been removed from this product. Now, besides knowing about query rules, which allow you to flexibly manage your business rules with user intent, and besides the query languages, which provide you the ability to create powerful search experiences, what you should also know is about the Search RESTful API. And there was a presentation yesterday about the REST API, if you attended that. I will go shortly over the Search RESTful API. And here, the point is that you get all the properties from the keyword query language. You can access them using the RESTful API syntax. For example, we can select properties We can say we just want the title or rank to be returned. And what you get is a predefined format that you can handle in your custom applications. You can create some custom code that will extract the most interesting parts from this result, right? But this is in a predictable format that you can use to create applications for mobile devices, for apps in SharePoint, and all around. So let's take a look about the extensibility options for content processing now that we've looked at query management. And there are three new items that have been introduced in the content processing extensibility part. And those are parsers, the web service callout, and the custom entity extractors. And we will demonstrate how to create our custom entity extractor. Let's take each of them. Until now, to crawl content, you would use the iFilters. Now, parsers replace this. Parsers are responsible for detecting the file format of the document you're crawling, and based on this, use the appropriate format handler. Now, there's one thing that the parser can detect more formats that format handlers exist, which means that the iFilter API is not gone forever. It can be used to create custom iFilters. What is also interesting is that here is where deep link extraction happens. And you've seen in the search interface that you can you view links to structured content. Also, we all know that users don't all the time change the metadata, don't change the title of the document, and something is going wrong. So now in SharePoint 2013, this metadata for title, author, and date is extracted from the document content, not the metadata. A second item new to SharePoint 2013 is the custom entity extractor. And you can define this using custom dictionaries. Those of you that work with FAST know that there are predefined extractors for person name, locations, and companies. For person name and locations, those predefined extractors are no longer available. And the way to go further is by creating a custom entity extractor. And there are 12 slots where you can put your dictionary. Another difference from FAST to SharePoint 2013 is that those predefined extractor were based on extraction rules. Here, you define some custom dictionaries where you list the entities you want to match in the text. Say you want to find all the locations in your documents, cities, states. You can create new metadata using a custom entity extractor and then use that to refine in your search. But that might not be enough for you. You would use a dictionary for a custom entity extractor. But say you want to search for phone numbers and you don't actually know a phone number of one of your colleagues, and you want to search on that. If you don't have a field for that, then would you search in the entire document? would that match different areas in a region? So you need a field on which you can filter or on which you can refine. And to do that, for a more advanced content processing, you would use the web service callout. And this provides a SOAP endpoint where you can actually plug in your own web service to do the content processing. And you can use this for entity extraction, but you can also use it for cleaning your data, normalizing values, performing some kind of classification. So those were the three new items in the content processing. And custom entity extractors, that's one of the demos I would like to show you today. The other two demos is about adding counts to refiners and managing query suggestions. So the first one is getting refiner counts. So although we do have deep refiners in SharePoint 2013, those are not seen. So what we want to do is add the counts. And what is responsible of how refiners are displayed and different components are the display templates. So if we go and edit the refinement web part and go to choose refiners, select one of the refiners, for example, the display author, we see that the display template is called refinement item. And now we can go to the design manager and check for that display template and see if we can change it. So I'll go to the design manager, I'll click on edit display templates. And find the refinement item. I'll copy the location so I can open it. So let's look at how you would add them. So this is how I want to look the query suggestions. And I have some, but I want to have more. And why would you manually add query suggestions, you might wonder. Maybe you have a fresh environment, a new installation of SharePoint, but you don't have any user interaction. So you want to add query suggestions that match with your company. And you can do that through PowerShell. You might want to also remove query suggestions. And you would do that with PowerShell as well. So I have created a file containing some query suggestions to be added. And have associated this with language code 1033. So I want to import this file and add query suggestions to my search center. And I'll just do that by using the commandlet, the last commandlet you see there, where I import my file. So I'll run this, this script. Yeah, let's see in the search center if I get the suggestions. I had some suggestions about SharePoint and SharePoint conference. Yeah. Cool. What I'm running here is the preview of SharePoint, and some things might have changed, but the preview version suggests that you can also add query suggestions from the central administration interface, and you would do it in this manner. You go to the search service application, and then you have in the menu there, you have query suggestions, and you can add your own file with the suggestions. This was the second demo, also very easy, right? Let's look at the third demo about adding a custom entity extractor. And what I want to do here is add an extractor for cities. So I'll deploy a dictionary containing a list of city names. And I want to extract those city names from the text of my documents. And then I can use it as a refiner. So let's try that. I don't have so many documents in my index, but this is a small list of cities that I want to extract from the documents. I'm currently not able to find this information, so if I search for one of the locations, yes, it will search in the body of the documents, but I can't get the refiner on the cities. I can't explore. So I would like to add this custom dictionary, and it's just one PowerShell commandlet that does it. And as I said in the lecture part of the presentation, you have 12 custom dictionaries. You can use 12 slots to add your own custom dictionary. So I just use one of them, which is custom word one, as you see there. And then what I need to do is I deployed this dictionary, but then I need to have a manage property with this. So I'll go to my manage properties and find one that might contain the cities I'm looking for, and I selected body. And if I edit that property, I have an option there which says, okay, use my custom dictionary to extract entities. So I'll just save that. And now I'll do, of course, full crawl, so I get the managed properties and I have them usable in the refiners. So I'll start a full crawl of my content. And after the crawl has finished, I should have that managed property available, and then I can add it as a refiner to the refinement web part. So I'll just do that. I'll just add it to my refiners. I'll give it a good name and save. See cities. You can filter on Copenhagen, for example. Yep. Yeah. So we've seen how we can customize and extend the search experience. Let's see where we are in the agenda. We we've seen the out-of-the-box search experience, which is very powerful, but might not fit everyone's needs. So that is why we also discussed a bit about how to extend and customize the search experience. And the third thing I would talk about is about search analytics. And I mentioned that there is a new analytics processing component that analyzes usage events and provides recommendations and continuously improves relevance in the search results. This new component is responsible for that and for creating reports and providing recommendations to guide the user. So we will look a bit what kind of reports we get. Through these reports, we get insights on how is our search engine today and where can we improve so we can act on these insights. When we made a change, we can monitor these changes using this analytics component. We also get search recommendations, and the way it works is that user actions are stored, are counted in the algorithm, and you can provide web parts with the previous items that users have seen that are relevant to the users. So you get the right content to the users. Everything is contextual. We've seen three interesting parts, I hope. You didn't fall asleep, at least 80% of you didn't. Cool. But I have a few things more. I haven't worked alone at this presentation. There's a team at FindWise that has been looking at the new SharePoint, and we're really excited about it. So we wanted to share with you our top 5 picks in the search in SharePoint 2013. For example, you can tag people in videos. What this means is that you can then search for people in videos with this tagging feature. Secondly, you can do automatically the conversion from Word documents to PDF documents through the print to PDF feature. We've also seen that we can now have people name suggestions. Another thing are the content recommendations. And our fifth pick is the drip refiners and visual refiners. So what's next? You, of course, want to learn more about SharePoint. We can't cover everything about search in 1 hour or 45 minutes. So go and learn more from TechNet material, MSDN. Go to the SharePoint team blog to find out more. They're releasing new blog posts each week. Also, we are covering the search part of the SharePoint. So you can follow what we post on our findability blog. You can now download the new SharePoint and get a bigger feeling of what's happening there. We've just worked now with the preview release, which has been available since July. But we haven't seen all the features. Also, attend the SharePoint conference in Las Vegas. We are going there. We're very excited about it. It's a great opportunity to learn more about it. So how many of you are going to Las Vegas? Cool. Yeah, so see you there. We will also be reporting on that on our findability blog and on Twitter. And the Danish delegation will use that Twitter handle there. So make sure to follow that and stay up to date with what's happening there. Yeah, I think we have time for questions. Yeah. So the question is, how do you get various types of information into the crawler, like emails and network files? So SharePoint 2013 gives you various connectors to index file shares, HTTP files, your Exchange public folders, only those public. It provides connectors to Documentum and Lotus, and you can create your own custom connectors using the business connectivity services.
Just a great tip with indexing file shares is, of course, that what we have seen when people start indexing the file shares is that you actually have loads of things that you didn't know of, and maybe things that you don't want people to know of either. So just think twice before you open it up for everyone. But it's really simple.
So the question was about the name suggestions, if you have it only for English or if you have to add language support for based on your internet. I'm not aware of that. So I'll look into that and we can discuss after the presentation. Any other questions?
If you look at the Gartner quadrant of these different search platforms, I mean, Microsoft Fast has always been really high on both functionality and what it can achieve. And I mean, since Microsoft bought that, it moved up Microsoft in that area on search as well. So I think this is a real enterprise product, and Google has other usage, but I don't think you can almost even compare them because you use them in different things. So if you want a good search on the intranet, you want to have new functionalities, then this product will deliver much more than Google Enterprise or Google Appliance. That's kind of the... I would say yes to your question. So it will provide more functionality, and it will replace, if you have today, a Google appliance. So if you're moving ahead for SharePoint 2013, this will be the way for you. You still seems a bit unhappy. You can. I mean, for me, compared with, there isn't actually any drawbacks against the Google appliance. And I can say this with a firm, with my honest heart, because we work with both of the solutions. They have different functionalities, and I mean, I think there is no drawback in going in this with this solution, and you won't miss any functionality that you have in a Google appliance. You have all that functionality plus more. And I mean, with SharePoint, since they actually now integrated in together, one of the good things about Google Appliance that were before, there was that it was really easy to configure. Fast has always been quite hard to configure, and Fast for SharePoint was a bit better, but it was still hard to configure. But now, when they moved it more and more into SharePoint, which is quite easy to configure, that has also made the Fast, all the power of Fast, to be easy configurable as well. So I would say there is no drawback in going in this direction. Any other questions? We will be around at the conference, me, Paula, and Mats, who is sitting up here, is also representing our office. So please feel free to ask us at any time. Thank you.
Make sure to evaluate the session.